Is this going?
It's going. All right. It's going. So, okay, I just said so, which is going to drive everybody crazy already. So let's start over. I just said so again. All
right. So.
So what do you think? How do you do this?
So I'm Daniel Cook.
Okay, you are Daniel Cook.
I'm the PM. I'm the program manager on Acrylic, which used to be called Acrylic, but is now called Expression Design.
Okay.
And it's the new vector graphic design software that is part of this huge new expression suite that Microsoft is coming out with and targeting all those graphic designer people out there.
Very good. And you, sir?
Hi, I'm Devin Strong. I'm a developer on the product he just described, so there's not much more to say.
All right, so you're one of the devs. You actually get your hands dirty and do the coding and that sort of thing?
Do some C++, C Sharp, WPF, a little bit of C++, CLI, all this good stuff.
Huh, so then Expression Studio is a mix of all those different things? Or Expression Designer?
Expression Design.
The Expression Suite is composed of a variety of products. There's Expression Web, which is an HTML editor that's been announced. There's Expression Design, which is a vector editing tool for building graphics. And then there's Expression Blend, which used to be called Interactive Designer, which is a WPF authoring application.
Okay.
And the idea is that we really want to bring designers into the experience of developing rich applications. If you look at all the applications out there, they're rather exciting. They've got cool mouse overs and they look pretty, and they're no longer gray boxes on gray backgrounds where you click the button and then you're bored. But the idea is to bring people who have artistic skills into that mix. But you can't bring people with artistic skills into that mix just by sitting them down in front of Visual Studio.
Yeah.
Instead, you have to give them tools that are familiar, that they love, that they can get creative with. So the whole Expression Suite is the set of creative tools for these designer-type people to make these rich, new, next-generation applications.
That's good, actually, because I downloaded an application the other day. I'm not going to say from which company. And I used it, and it was like Windows 95 widgets, and it was green. The whole thing was just different shades. It was
right.
It was like 256 shades of green. And yeah, I almost died.
Yeah.
So you're the people who are changing that then.
That's right.
That's very
right.
Good.
So there's two big platforms that are coming out here. There's WPF, which is the Windows Presentation Foundation. Which is going to be in Vista, and that's all these new vector-based displays, so you can have scalable interfaces, you can have animation, much, much richer UI.
Yeah.
And then we'll be showing you a little bit of this later on. There's something called WPFE that brings part of that experience to the web. And then, of course, there's the HTML Ajax side of things that's going like wild right now.
Yeah.
So we're going to be targeting all those platforms.
Now, I don't want to interrupt you, but...
Yes, so this is Christian Sherman.
Hello, Christian.
He's the... do you want to... I was just giving you a brief overview.
I'm responsible for program management on Sparkle and Acrylic. So...
Those are the code names.
Can I use new names?
You can use the new ones.
Okay, so for Expression Blend and Expression Design... And I'm also looking after some things in the overall suite that we're building. So that's my job.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, very good.
Yeah. And Christian's responsible for one of the things that we'll get into. We wanted to provide a coherent experience across all the products. So we have these very divergent products targeting different people, but we want to maintain a nice, friendly, coherent user interface across all of them.
That is wise.
So that's one of the things.
You'll see some of that later with the design product, especially, which has made great leaps and bounds from our previous release, which was purely the MFC based. So the UI has become more consistent with Blend and kind of brought in some WPF content.
Speaking of which, can you guys show me anything? I mean, can we start this whole tour off with a...
How about we go, and there's a hallway right down here where we can show some images, what some graphic designers have been doing.
Can I leave my soda here? Will anybody spit in while we're gone? Is that fine?
Not too many people.
You might. Okay, but you're going to be with us, so that's going to be quite the trick. If you can spit in my soda while we're gone, then I applaud you, sir.
I'll sneak off camera for a few seconds, and then I'll come back.
All right, so little field trip.
All right. Here we go.
It's kind of exciting walking through the hallways at Microsoft in Building 42.
It always reminds me of The Shining. I want
one of those. Minus the blood.
Those little carts.
So, I'm sorry, where are we headed?
So, we're going to go right here, which is... this is a wall of art that's been created with expression design.
Wall of art. Oh, wart.
A wart. Yeah. So one of the things that we're doing differently here is we are actually making artists part of the team. Typically, when you think of a product development team, you think folks like Devin, which Devin happens to be an artist too, but who are primarily programmers and who don't actually like use the product that they're making.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we find about the graphic design community, and I'm a professional illustrator way back in the day, is that it's as much a culture as it is just a job that people do. So if you don't understand the culture, if you don't understand the history, if you don't know how to use these programs at a very expert level, then you're going to make really stupid decisions about how the functionality and how it all works together.
Okay.
So we have a bunch of, we call them users, oddly enough, user testers, but they come in and they work on projects and then they give us feedback and they're working with the daily builds and saying, hey, look, this sucks and this is good and this is bad and this keyboard shortcut's wrong and those thousands of little details that go into a good product.
I get it. So you kind of like hire a bunch of like horn-rimmed, spectacled art students to come in and like do stuff and then they get mad at you.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You know, because you want to get as close to the customer as possible. And they're very stylish. So
of course they are. Yeah, yes. Peacoats and everything, I imagine.
Yeah. So this is just some of the things. So you can see the whole range. We've got some interesting design work.
These were all done with your tools.
These were all done with our tool.
So is that a graphic?
This is a graphic. This was the original. This was a photo. And then this is all vector graphics that was done in design.
That's amazing.
We have a really talented fellow named Jesse Brown who puts all these together.
That's really fantastic. I can't tell the difference, really, except that, well, this one's bigger and looks more realistic.
Right, and you can zoom in on this one and it won't get pixelated.
That's, see, you're right. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I know what you mean. That's a stupid joke I just did is what that was. So.
But if you look here, you'll see all these things as well, which is like, what tools did he use? What was really horrible about it? So we're really looking for that user feedback. Because if the graphic designers don't like it, then our customers aren't.
Or in other words, we're not just going to throw this thing out into the wild and hope people enjoy it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We're not the eggheads at Microsoft designing what we think graphic designers want. So you can see here some application designs. I don't think these are actually end up being used, but one of the interesting things about this, instead of coming at it from a functional perspective where you're saying, here's what it's going to work like, and then later on tacking on the visuals, you can get the designers involved in the design process early, and they can imagine with this visual tool what it might be like.
Okay.
So, yeah. So this is just some of the stuff.
The wallow stuff, the wart.
The wart, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good, good, good. So we got a bit of that. Where are we going next?
We're going to take a quick drop by the team space just to show you a little bit how we work, and then we will go and look at the application.
All right. You okay? You spitting in my drink yet?
Not yet.
Okay, good.
I was off camera for a good minute there. So
this is another thing we're doing is we're making sure that everybody on the team does a little art. So we're teaching them classes and stuff. We're trying to get a little cross-training going.
So you mean even if they aren't really artists, you're trying to get them to do it? Or is that how it works?
Developers, testers, everyone.
Yeah. So here we have, this is where we meet every day and
really?
Talk about the program. This is our crazy product planning system.
So this is how the product is planned? With a basketball hoop.
Yeah.
Ken doll.
This is a Ken doll. This is the shrine of Ken. So I was walking through one of these toy stores. You know the places where all the old toys that nobody wants go?
No, actually I don't.
No, like they these discount stores. They have discount stores, you'll find like broken pottery and like
really?
Yeah, there's
Ross.
Ross.
For example.
Ross.
Ross sells broken pottery?
Right. Ross sells the closed version of it.
Okay, all right.
They have stores that they're, I don't know what they'd be called, knick-knack stores. And I found an actual Ken doll that who is dressed up as an art director. And if you look in the back there, you can see the Aeron chair.
Oh, look at that.
So the blueprints, he's an art director, but he's making buildings.
Yeah, yeah. He's a classic. He's a classic. So we have him up to remind
us. And by classic, you mean a doll nobody wanted.
The doll that nobody wanted, yes.
So you guys actually meet here and have meetings.
Every day,
can you simulate that right now? Come on, everybody jump in there and have a meeting. I want to see how this works. I don't believe this.
Every day we have a 15-minute stand-up meeting.
Hmm.
There's a process called Scrum where this comes from. And you sit around and you say, are you blocked by things? And it keeps everyone on the same page.
And what you're working on, what you're about to work on, this kind of thing.
Yeah, it's just a short little meeting. Everyone meets right in here. We have the artists come in as well, and they talk about things that are really irritating them that day. The idea is to promote communication.
So what's on the wall? What are all these cards?
These are work items.
So these are all tasks and work items that people are working on. So what happens is when we're done with one, we update the number and we just move it over to the next wall. And when this wall is empty, we know we're done.
Okay, that's pretty cool. So everybody has a very visual way of knowing what the progress is, and it's right out here where everybody can see it.
Yep.
I actually kind of like that.
Yeah.
I wish that I worked on a team that actually shipped things so that I could have a system like that, but I don't. Okay, so what do you guys want to show me next?
Why don't we go and look at the product?
Okay.
I know we've been as exciting as the workspace is.
That actually, it is pretty neat, you know, I'm new on campus still, you know, and just going around seeing how the different people around here work is pretty fascinating, so.
Everyone does their own thing. All right. So, this is Microsoft Expression Design.
And I'm sorry, I'm really, really dumb about this sort of thing. The design is what again?
So we have basically a number of products in the suite, so the ones that are announced at this point are Web, that is a web design product for standards-based web. We have Blend, that is basically an authoring tool for WPF. And we have Design, which is a general-purpose vector graphics illustration product, although in version 1, one of our big focus is also to create XAML graphics for WPF.
Okay, so it does vector graphics, and does it'll output XAML? Does it save in its own format?
No. Well, yes, it has a private format, just like Illustrator has .ai files. It has its, what is the last extension that we now finally use?
.design
for the file type of the files. But we also have very strong export capabilities to XAML so that you can integrate the stuff you do in design with WPF applications quite easily.
Very nice.
So we have a very cool export to Blend. And there are some things that are quicker and easier and richer to do inside of design than they are inside of Blend. And so that's a cool combination of workflow.
Okay.
Also, we have some really nice import functions from Illustrator that make it much easier to get Illustrator content in through design.
All right.
So what I thought is I'd just do a rough overview of what design is. Go through, talk about some of the big changes for people who are watching this who are familiar with previous versions. Talk about what we did with the UI. And then I'll go in and I'll start showing the various tools and how you use them and how it functions. And then finally, Devin's going to take us through how you export from XAML into Blend and get the data out of here and into an authoring environment where you can make WPF applications.
All right.
Yeah.
So sounds good.
Yeah.
So we'll just sit down here next to you then.
The other meeting is scheduled later this week to talk in more detail about it.
Yeah.
Blend.
All right. So, this is the application right here. And let me pop up a new document. So, pop up. Here's my new document.
So we just got a nice square out there. Or I guess that's a rectangle.
That's your canvas. And you can draw on it. I mean, at the most basic fundamental level, this is just a drawing tool, you know? So you can say, hey, this is my beautiful illustration.
Wow, that is Okay.
Yeah, so maybe that's not the best picture in the world.
Now, that's all vector-based, then.
That's all vector-based. So one of the things that's sort of new with WPF is that it is a vector-based format. So I can go in here and start playing around with this and selecting points and stretching it and moving it around, and you know, if all stretches, it's not pixels, it's not going to get distorted. There's actually a structure here. Now, if I zoom in on this, you notice it doesn't pixelate.
Yeah.
So that means I can take my beautiful graphics, and I can select them, and I can scale them easily, and do all sorts of stuff.
I'm going to make the stroke thickness a little bigger. Yeah. Show up on camera easier.
Yeah, so... Yeah,
scaled out.
Now, I'll tell you, what confuses me most about what I'm seeing right now is that I've messed around before with vector drawing applications, mm-hmm. and I don't understand them at all, but it seems like you just went out there and just drew.
Right. There's a bunch of different tools for making vectors. The simplest one is the paintbrush, and we have some great functionality there that I'll show you a little later. You can draw these beautiful paint-like strokes. That's one of the unique capabilities of this. The more common one is the pen tool, the Bezier pen tool, and so here you can draw with...
Yeah, that's what I'm used to. That's what kind of starts to confuse me as someone who's used to raster graphics.
Yeah, and one of the things that we find about these type of tools is, in general, the people who are using them have been using them for a long time.
Yeah.
They've been using them. To get good at this type of tool, you're going to expect a year or two of practice, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, most of the designers who are doing this type of work have been basically apprenticed into the production process for, you know, multiple years before they're allowed to create their own thing. So they're doing lots and lots and lots of, you know, little tiny illustrations and pictures and layouts before they get up to the whole art director. You know, we imagine the artist as the typical art director, you know, with the high collar who's telling people, do this and do that and make it red, you know. Make it chartreuse. There's a whole bunch of production people who support that art director, and they're spending years learning these tools. So it's very difficult for someone who comes from outside of that graphic design community to come in, and it would be as if you sat down at a piano for the first time and said, why can't I play music?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very similar sort of thing. This is an instrument for creating art.
Interesting. Okay.
We've gone through what vectors are, and let me load up a somewhat more attractive picture. One of the things that we also do here in order to get closer to the artists is we every few weeks or so, every month, we sit down and we get the whole team trying to build art. We call it an art bash. So everyone just builds stuff. So here's something that I've been playing with, and I'll open this one because I know my way around it. Let's see. So this is a little game. These are just graphics for a game I was working on.
Is that the designer Ken?
Or is that the no, this. So we've got the little cowboy dude here. He's going to be the good guy, and then we've got the evil business guy here, and so he's got a little Bluetooth thing on. Bluetooth.
So people who use Bluetooth are evil? I mean, what's the message here?
Yeah,
the evil battle of businessmen and cowboys.
The businessmen and cowboys, absolutely. You know, because even Tetris is a great moral battle. You can see that these are, again, all graphics, all vector graphics,
nice.
And you go in here. I've got everything locked.
Nice grass.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, the high resolution grass. So you'll notice, so there's pretty pictures on the screen, but probably the bigger thing that we changed about this is we've got a whole new user interface right here. Right? So you notice it's this dark gray.
Yeah, it's that kind of slate color, that sort of Vista slate.
Yeah, if you looked at the previous version of acrylic, you're going to see that this is very different. So we've been putting out CTPs, customer technology previews, for quite a while, almost a year now, a couple of years now,
a little over a year, about a year and a half,
year and a half.
Yeah.
So the history of this product is that way back in the day, about 10 years ago, fellow started a vector drawing tool called Expression. So it's one of these programs that has legacy. It was one of the early innovators in the graphic design tool space. And Microsoft acquired that product, and we had all this great vector technology, and we said, hey, we want to do something with it. So sort of in the whole process of openness, we started releasing versions of it out to the public and seeing what they thought. And we started listening to their feedback. And we think, you know, at first we were like, oh, maybe we can just release this as is. But as we got more and more feedback, the same things kept being hit upon over and over again. People said there's some really good stuff in here. It's obviously unfinished, but it's unfinished functionality. That's okay. But what you really need to work on are the basics. There's some basics that we know and love. So what would happen is people would sit down at it. Imagine the piano metaphor again. They'd sit down at the application, and they'd notice the interface was a little different than what they were used to, and then they'd immediately put their hands on the keyboard and say, oh, well, I want to use my pen tool. So I'd press the A key, and then I'd start panning around, and then I'll start zooming in. And you notice I'm not doing anything on the screen here whatsoever. I'm not actually, like, clicking on buttons to change tool modes or anything like that. I'm all doing it all for the
keyboard-driven.
So there was a lot of, like, muscle memory type things that people were used to that the other application didn't have.
So it'd be like if we suddenly change Control C to something else in an application. Screwed everybody up.
Okay. Exactly. And the ways that gradients worked, and the way that the pen tool worked, all these things that people had gotten really, really used to, and they had years of experience with, the application didn't do.
So instead of just releasing the app and doing it the easy way, your team decided to go the hard, noble route and make it so that people could use this application the way that they wanted to use it.
Exactly.
Well, we were kind of... A big part of our mission is to create tools that enable designers to participate much more closely in the application development process. So we wanted to make tools that are really designer-friendly and that make designers feel at home. And when we looked at what we had like a little while ago, we decided we really need to do some work on the user interface side to build a user experience that is designer-friendly and, you know, that is accessible to our target customers. And so that's what we did with both Design and with Blend, and they both share now a whole lot of the UI. They look very similar. They look really like siblings in a family, which is the whole purpose of the exercise. So we're sharing a lot of the UI between these two products.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So that led into it, and I know some of the people who watch this tend to be on the technical side of things.
They're devs, but, you know, this is the kind of stuff... I mean, we're going to be working with these people. You know, the people are going to be working with this product, so...
Yeah. So one of the interesting sort of a side note here, which is interesting technical discussion, and Devin can talk to this more because he was intimately involved. We had this you know, C++, C... Is it, there's some C in there at all, or is it all C?
C++.
It's all C.
It's effectively a superset of C.
Yeah, so it's all C++, and it was sort of this unmanaged core with this great drawing surface that is actually quite fast and speedy, and you can zoom in and out on it, and it's a great environment for making pictures in. But we wanted to replace all the outside. We wanted to take all these palettes that people are constantly managing. One of the things that we found is that a huge percentage of people's time that they thought they were being busy, but what they were actually doing was rearranging their palettes. So they would do something like this, and then they'd have all these little palettes floating off in the corners,
right.
And then they'd move them all back, and then they'd feel really good about the amount of time that they were spending doing this because they were busy. But they weren't much work done. So you notice now everything resizes, so it's a nice resizing application.
And you can still float the palettes. You should probably show that for the diehards that absolutely...
They can still be undocked. Okay, that's
you
nice.
Can still do that sort of thing. So we said, well, we really need to rework all this stuff. So what we did is we turned to WPF, which is this new lovely graphics engine for next generation user experiences, and we said, let's see if we can wrap that C++ core in this brand new technology. And Devin, do you want to say more about that?
There's not much to go into. Basically, the challenge was we have this MFC purely unmanaged application, and we wanted to keep the guts of that, the rendering, kind of some of the tools, all the logic inside, the bitmap kind of operations, the import-export, but we wanted to take the old interface, which was also written in this unmanaged code, and eventually kind of slough it off, replace it with this WPF. So what we ended up doing was we wrote a wrapper, which was purely managed C-sharp application, with the WPF UI. And through the WPF and XAML code, we bound into, via C++ and CLI code, the internal C++ engine. So yeah, that's a lot of buzzwords, which basically meant we made it work. So we took this unmanaged thing, you know, and we worked inside out to wrap this with WPF. And at the end of the day, we were able to share a lot of controls with all the core work for expression. We have the same color editor as Sparkle and Vex. And what is the keyword for this? For Vex? Video encoder? Whatever. Right, forget I said that. the point is that if we have a color editor for some product in the suite, then every application in the suite should be using that color editor.
Yeah.
And this brought us very close to that target.
So are those all like managed controls then, like the color editor?
Yeah, these are all okay. Managed controls. Here's the proof that I show disbelievers. So check this out. This is a fun little feature that you can try at home. So notice this workspace zoom. So right now it's at 150%. By default, it's at, say, 100. Okay, now you'll notice...
Everything should be much smaller.
Everything is much smaller.
I think you can drag that.
Yeah, you can actually drag this thing. Make it smaller. Make it freaking tiny. Zoom it all the way in. It's very large. So this is kind of the simple proof that this is indeed a WPF UI.
Yeah, that's
being
real
C#. Yeah.
So we have an actual WPF application here,
yeah.
You know?
WPF application with MFC running inside this window.
Wow, that would be an interesting white paper. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So I thought now I'd just take you all through a tour of, like, all the different sections of it and just give you an overview of what we've done and some of the highlights, some of the changes since the last CTP.
Sure.
And then after that, Devin's going to show some sweet XAML exporting. So, all right. Now, one of the big differences that I always notice about this application versus other ones is other vector tools, they tend to have lots and lots of palettes. You're dealing with these little floating palettes. You usually have a 10 or so floating around all over the place, and you're switching between tabs and trying to, like, get to things, and it gets really hard to manage the interface. We have a total of 2 palettes.
Okay.
So we've got this property inspector, which is shows pretty much everything you need, and I've got a bigger. You would actually run it at a much smaller resolution. Should I make this at a normal size, or what's typical?
This is good.
This is good. Great. Then we've got our layers palette right here, and again, all these things can pop off, so I can move them around. If I have a second monitor, I can throw those onto the second monitor. I can redock those if I want. So those are 2 palettes. That's pretty simple.
Yeah.
We also have the toolbox right here. So here are all my tools, and you can see I've got all sorts of selection tools in there, and brush tools, and shape tools, you know, all sorts of stuff. So if I want to make a star, here you go. Boom, I've got a star.
Can you design your own shapes that can be added to that toolbar?
You can't. These are all procedural shapes, so there's a limited set. What we tried to do is keep them to the basic ones that most people use all the time. Text, you know, you've got all your various tools here. So these are basically all the things you need to put shapes down on the screen, move them around, add text and typography to it, and make your picture. And I'll get into some individual ones of those as we go. Then we also have, your zoom, so you can zoom in and out on your image. So I can just drag on that. That's another interesting thing you see about this user interface. A lot of the controls are very tactile. You can drag on them.
Yeah.
So you can enter numbers in if you want, or if you don't want to do that, you can just drag on them and adjust them directly. We also have, select something here so you can see this.
Is it locked?
Did I lock everything?
Some of the grass levels.
Yeah. We also have here, this is the action bar. This does a bunch of things for us.
Where is the action bar?
Right here. Right along the bottom.
Right along the bottom there.
Yeah. And you'll notice that some of the graphics are, placeholder graphics and such. One of the things that it being a WPF application lets us do is it lets us get in all the functionality and let it be ugly, so we can, that's okay. Because all that WPF stuff is done in, all the visuals are done in XAML.
Mm-hmm.
So now we can get an artist to go in there, and we actually have some artists who are going through this thing right now and making it pretty. They can go through and they can say, this corner isn't quite right. The pixels are off there. And they can just go in and adjust and update the resources. And then every day, this thing keeps getting more and more attractive.
Okay, so then the design principle here then is one which probably should have been followed for ages, which is that you have somebody who really understands UI lay the thing out, and then you have somebody who really understands aesthetics come in and pretty the thing up.
Exactly.
Okay, exactly. I like that.
Exactly. And what it does is it allows all those people to interact at the same time on the application. The programmers can be like building new functionality. The UI layout guys can be saying, "Hey, it should be over here or over there." The user experience graphic designers can be saying, "Hey, the glint on this section of the button is not right," and they can make that better.
So this requires a lot of discipline on the part of the coders that are kind of laying out the XAML and these kind of things. But the key enabler for this scenario, kind of this workflow in the development of the application, is just XAML itself and WPF. There's significant functionality that's exposed. For instance, the control styling, the resource engine, data binding, the program model C Sharp that the WPF team has given the world, I guess, that makes it easier to write these kind of applications in this fashion. And so this kind of workflow in the past would have been extremely difficult. You talk to most programmers on C++ projects, almost any other language, and it's a nightmare just getting pings into an iGrid, or specific resources to lay out correctly. And there's this constant clash between designer and developer just because the designer wants it to look gorgeous, the developer wants to get their job done, and they kind of have to make a trade-off between getting the functionality in and making it pretty. So with XAML, they don't have to make that trade-off. They put the functionality in, lay it out with some boxes, some basic controls, then the designers come in a second pass, and they can pretty the thing up.
So, nice.
Yeah, it makes it much more fun to work together.
So the designers can come in and they can make everything look nice without ruining it all, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah, because you wouldn't want to hand to an artist your C-sharp, interface, right?
Yeah, and occasionally an artist can modify some constants in a C-sharp file.
But they won't.
They won't, yeah, unless you show them exactly
because
what
we'll
they're
stop
modifying.
Them.
Yeah. But, it's possible to break the XAML. Anybody can do that, but for the most part...
Especially
artists. I wouldn't go that far.
C9 is a dev audience. I just have to,
root
for our side of the
one of the things, and we've got a picture out there that maybe we can show you afterwards, which is the modern team is this mixture of artists and programmers and testers and it's all, we all have one goal. We're not on different teams. We're all on the same team, and the goal is to make a kick-ass product.
Yeah, and these to do that, these are like the tools with which to make the applications that we've seen on TV, essentially.
Yeah.
And you're not going to do that just as a developer sitting there doing everything by yourself.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. I can tell you, I was saying earlier, I don't know how these tools work. I don't know. I could make a straight line, with your typical vector drawing application because I don't understand vector drawing,
Right.
It's over my head. But, a vector artist could totally do that. So, I appreciate that quite a bit.
Yeah. So this is some of the functionality. So we have all the numbers. So people like tweaking the numbers. Hey, I want to move this object up a little bit,
Can you show it live?
Yeah, so you can just say, I want to move this up.
Oh, hey, wow, that's neat. So you're actually... you're not really dragging the object. Let's see, that object right there, what you're doing is you're dragging that value up.
Yeah, I'm just dragging the
can
Y.
Can you do this again?
Or with height, that's an
yeah, so I can just move
yeah,
this around.
Neat.
Real-time scaling.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. So yeah, I can make it bigger or smaller.
Rotate it.
But that's not, it gives the businessman an unfair advantage if you make that, you know, particular shape bigger.
Yeah. Yeah, eventually this will turn into a game that I think is going to go up on the web someplace. But
really? Okay.
Yeah, but you know, you gotta play around. So here's all the numbers. Lets you plug in some numbers. You can of course always just drag on the screen. I mean, and move it around. That's how most people do it.
So each one of those is like a separate object then?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I have to ask questions like this because I'm a developer and
absolutely.
This is a foreign world to me.
Yeah, so let's go in here and I'll just show you what this is.
Oh yeah, show those flowers. That's hot.
This is made up of.
Look at those details.
So this is all little objects. So we've got a little object here, we've got another little object here, and
so it's accomplished with the gradient?
Yeah. So these flowers are just more little objects. I grouped them together so they would be pretty. But I can ungroup that, and then we've got all these little petals.
Wow.
He loves me. He loves me now. He loves me now.
Wow.
Oh, that's too bad.
He loves me.
Turn in the flower. Turn in the flower.
Yeah, yeah. I think they all have the same.
I think you have to start off on loves me not.
Yeah. And so you can totally play around with that. And, of course, you have all the standard undo, redo. So if you happen to make a mistake, which people do, you can get it back. So we also have all these tools right here. So let's say I want to make a really complex shape. You know, I want to subtract out the center of that. Well, I can just go in here and I can say, oh, I've got all these path operations. I'm going to, you know. Oops.
Then you end up with a square with the middle missing, sort of a square donut.
Exactly. So you can do all these path operations where you're cutting things apart. You can also do things where you're aligning things. So you're like, oh, I want to take these two objects and I want to align them to the left edge, you know.
Nice.
So these are all really, really common things you do in a user interface.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, I want to make this corner rounded. I want to take a chunk out. I want to take all these buttons and move them over to the side. And all we're doing is we're just making that stuff available on the surface for people. So let's get into the next section, which is sort of one of the more interesting user interface changes we made. In order to get rid of all these palettes, we had to put all that information someplace. So we chose a metaphor that you find a lot of times in video editing tools and 3D tools, which is something called a property inspector.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of having these palettes that are up all the time that take up a lot of space, instead we have this one palette right here, the property inspector, which is context sensitive. So you'll see if I select this object, it shows exactly, you know, here's the color, here's the stroke on that object, so I want to make the stroke bigger. We have down here, we have the width of the stroke, so I can make that bigger. You can see it changes over here.
Okay.
You know, so I can change it right there. Now, if I selected a different object, you know, you're going to get different properties over here. If I selected an object, let's say I select an object that doesn't have a gradient, you know, it doesn't have this sort of, like, yellow to yellow gradient, right? Instead, it's just a green object. You notice that the gradient controls aren't there. But if I add a gradient to that, then the gradient controls appear.
Nice. And then suddenly you've got a gradient object.
Exactly. Cool. So basically,
object with a gradient.
Yeah, the user interface will show you the properties that you need when you need them.
Okay.
Simple as that. And so you'll see the little categories appear like it's a rectangle, so it knows that I can add rounded corners to that. But if I were to just draw a path...
So the software actually knows like what shape it is?
For certain shapes, it does.
It's like smarter than the Viking lander, you know?
Exactly. So here, you know, it says, oh, look, you didn't need rounded corners because this is a different type of shape, so I'm not gonna show that for you.
Okay.
So this context sensitivity allows us to have a lot tighter interface without things always confusing the user.
Yeah, that's good. You don't overwhelm people. You don't waste their time.
Yep.
You just show them what they need for that particular object.
Yeah. And we have our color editors, and you can change colors really easily. This is one of my favorite tools. It's a color dropper, but it allows you, unlike a lot of color droppers, it allows you to pick anything anywhere on the screen. Like, I could pick a green here, right? And you see it turns green. But I could also say, oh, I've got this little control up here.
That's an overlay. It's not going to pick it.
That's not going to grab it. Here, do we have red down here? There we go.
Wait a minute. So by anything on the screen, you mean you can choose from that icon down there in the dot?
Yeah, so that red, red over there.
So, okay, because I mean, I understand color dropper stuff because I've done some, you know, image editing. So you were able to use the color dropper literally on anything.
Yeah.
Including that icon. That is fantastic.
Yeah, and one of the things we find is a lot of times you're searching the internet and you see a photograph and you get some inspiration, and it's just a pain to go out and say, oh, let me grab that image, bring it into
my program, select
the image. Instead, it's like, wouldn't it be great if you could just go and say, hey, let me grab a color here. So you could just go to a web browser of some sort and...
some kind, yeah.
One of the three you have installed.
We're very... We're very artist-friendly people. So if I like that blue right there, I can actually grab it. I can go out here and grab that blue. And you'll notice
that blue. All right, here we go. Here we go. Hug time. There you go. that's a hug for a fantastic feature. That is really cool.
So these are just simple little things that if you're in production and you're doing this type of work all the time, they make a huge difference.
Yeah, I can... Yeah.
So, let's see what else we have here. Oh, no strokes.
None installed.
I guess we can't show that one at that point. So we also have swatches right here. Here's all, if I want quick swatches, I can have quick access. We also have this swatch gallery right here, which has all sorts of swatches that you like. And if you want a particular one that you really like, you can actually bring it up here. Say I want it to add it to my favorites, and you'll notice what happened there? There we go. You notice it appears right on the surface of the UI, so I don't have to dig into this thing. This is sort of my extra storage, but I always have quick access to the few colors we have. What we found is that most of the time designers only actually use like 10 or so colors in their design. So having it's sort of like an artist's palette. Having quick access to those was really, really important.
Cool.
Some other things that are kind of fun is you have full control over your opacity. So let's just grab my object here. Let's put it over something. You notice I have full control over my opacity, so I don't have to dig for that. But I can also put a stroke on this. Let's put a little stroke. Right, and I can have a transparent stroke, or I can change the opacity of the stroke independently. So you notice the center should be getting more transparent, and the stroke is staying opaque. So it allows you a little bit more control over the different elements of things.
Then how much of this did you actually code, like when it comes down to the palette over here and things like that?
Oh, so I did the, as part of the WPF work with the MSC, the initial iteration of all these palettes, minus the layers palette, and then other developers on the team kind of picked it up and ran with it. So if I could show you a build from a few months ago, you would see my particular version of this, which was considerably simpler.
Yeah, there's a fellow named Doug Shimanek who worked on this a lot. There's
Oliver.
Another Oliver worked on this
Oliver
a lot.
Worked on the opacity specifically. I laid the groundwork for all this to kind of occur, but didn't do many of the palettes. However, the toolbox is all my baby.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. So it's very much a team effort. This team is definitely we're all doing it together.
I got to ask you guys, just, you know, right now when I look at this, I mean, it's a huge application. What's it like knowing that, you know, you guys have, like, worked on and you've built this application that so many people are going to be using? You know, they're going to really influence so many projects and people's lives. And I mean, this is huge.
No.
This is, like, bigger than, you know, like doing a record, you know? I mean,
well, it was either do a record, music career, or Microsoft, or cut cartridge.
It really is. I mean, this is going to be like a worldwide tool. It's going to be everywhere.
Yeah, for me personally, I've been using Photoshop since version 2.3, and Illustrator since version, say, 5 or 6 on the PC. So I've been working with these kind of tools in the design space, along with other 3D tools, AutoCAD, various things I did when I studied design in college. So to be able to actually, you know, drive the direction of one of these products and develop it is huge. Just
yeah.
because I've been working on these things for, you know, the better part of a decade, and now I finally get to go write one myself.
That is, yeah, that's just, yeah, yeah. Wow. It's awesome. Mean, to know, yeah, I can't really finish my sentence. I'm just, it kind of boggles my mind when I think about what it must feel like to know that, like, so many people are going to be using your app, you know. It's just got to be a pretty incredible feeling.
Well, it's huge, because you know? It's like the next generation designers, you know, kids coming out of college and professionals. This is going to shape the way they think and the way they work.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of new metaphors to introduce to the space.
Fantastic.
So then the last little bit here, there's some other things that are not going to be in this CTP, but will appear later on. It's always constant features, is we have our layers palette. So you can see, you know, here's that little guy, and you can sort of roll over him and get thumbnails.
Thanks, Doug.
Yeah, this is Doug.
So that was Doug then.
Doug Schimanek did this. So you can see I've got it all organized, and you can, of course, dig inside and say, hey, what are all the little pieces that make up the guy?
So those are all little cowboy man parts.
These are all the cowboy man. This is what happens when you got a cowboy man.
Can you change the size of those thumbnails, too?
Yes, you can.
Let's say I want to see more layers.
Let's see. Thumbnail options. Let's do some large ones. So you can do large large thumbnails if you want. Sometimes if you're working on a really big monitor or something, you want to see all those huge thumbnails.
So if you wanted, and if somebody with a camera were urging you to do so, you could actually zoom out here so that we could see the cowboy and then just make his hat huge?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Cool.
I could.
Because, I mean, that doesn't look like a big enough hat, you know, for a cowboy.
That's at least 4 or 5 gallons. We need a full 10.
See what we got here. All right, so here's my little dude. I may end up getting his head.
Yeah, bring chunks of head in there.
There's chunks of head and outlines and all
it's
sorts
like
of...
a big head sheet on a basketball game.
Yeah, let me see.
Yeah, I think you're getting a little bit of body there, too.
Yeah, let's see what... This may mutate him slightly. Yeah.
Back. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oops. So I've got all sorts of pieces in here.
So you probably sub-select just the highlights and the hat. Oh, you have one big path for the entire
background.
Yeah,
I've got one big path for the background, yeah. But...
Wow!
Make it bigger.
And the layer thumbnail.
So with your application, not only are lots of people going to be using it, but they can make huge hats with it.
Massive cowboy hats.
As long
really
as
disproportionate
huge
hats.
Huge scenario.
Yeah.
Trying to nail that.
It's all about...
And you guys have cornered that. That's
yeah.
good.
Yeah, Southern Texan graphic designers. That's you're from Texas.
Yeah, I'm from Texas.
Yeah.
This will go over well.
Texan graphic designers. That's the big thing here.
You from Austin?
College Station.
What is that?
It's in between Austin and Houston. It's
okay.
A small college town.
Okay. Well, Texas is huge, so I just thought I'd
massive.
Ask where it was anyway, even though I have no idea. Anyway, back to the product.
Yep. So you can add layers, and it's all the standard stuff is in here, but it's much more accessible. Everything's going to be nice and pretty. There's all sorts of things. I could go on for hours about this.
But so in a lot of ways, you feel that there has been a lot of innovation in this product when it comes to this style of application?
Oh, definitely.
Is there any way, and I know it's difficult, especially since this is kind of like, you know, it's your team's baby, you know? I mean, can you pick a feature that you consider to be the most innovative, like, coolest thing this, you know, application does?
XAML export.
Yeah, which is actually a good segue.
That's why I said it.
I would say right now for version 1.0, this is a very tight, elegant vector drawing tool.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to let graphic designers jump right in and create artwork that flows into these WPF applications really nicely. It's a platform. There's all sorts of crazy features we want to add to it. But right now we focus really on getting that initial experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is... If it's a 1.0 product,
it's a 1.0 product.
You
got to
do that. You got to make the 20% right that really matters to most people. So the
or you mean the 80% right?
No, you get the 20% of the features that people are using.
Oh, I see. I mean, okay, all right. I got you. Yeah. I thought you meant, 20% of the app works, you know, and then the other 80% just blows up.
Just makes things easier.
Catches on fire. But
yeah.
Okay.
So, at this point, we should probably get into showing XAML and how it comes out.
Yeah.
And so you can draw all these beautiful pictures. Now, what do you do with it? That's sort of the big question.
Oh, I love that. His own picture. You can draw these beautiful pictures. You do that. You're a biased source. That's fine.
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you very much for that demonstration.
Yeah.
So do you want to take the captain's chair there and start driving?
Okay. So, unfortunately, we're going to close this because I have not used this in my demo script.
Well, plus, it insults your people.
It does insult my people. The Texans everywhere would be outraged.
In that game, though, the Texan is the good guy.
I like to hear this.
Goes without saying, of course.
Yeah. Give him a big sheriff star.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I'm going to open in design this wonderful file that Jesse Brown, a user tester on our team, created.
Oh my, okay, now, given what I just saw of the tool, this must have been pretty hard to create.
Take them, like, a day?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Maybe a little more than that.
If I could draw that in a year, like, with a pencil, I'd be happy. I just can't draw. That's amazing to me. Okay.
Yeah. So it's a very, very, very rich file. Actually, let me reduce these thumbnails a little bit so you can actually see what's going on. I just took these to small. So if I go through kind of layer by layer, you can see we've got, you know, one layer for this big lens group. Let me see if I can select everything in there. So here we go, get this group. So this object as a whole just kind of comes off. There's a few other bits and pieces, some buttons and such. And
so you can swap lenses, just like on a real camera.
Yeah, exactly. You would be into this. Or at least the guy that makes your catalog for cameras would be into this.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Okay, so the idea is that we have this just gorgeous file, and we want to take this thing and somehow get it into Blend. You know, we want to get these great graphics, want to put it into an application somewhere useful. So let's say you're a designer on, you know, some software development team or a web application team, and you've created this beautiful asset. Somehow you want to get this into a XAML file inside of Blend and write a little application that can actually use this. So to do so, notice we've got all these layers. I locked the background so we don't select this. I'm going to select all. Notice all the highlights kind of come in.
Oh my. Wow, let me get a close-up of that.
Those are all the vector points.
These are the vector vector control points. Yeah.
Up close, it looks kind of like Tron.
Yes, it's like an amazing blueprint. And they're all multicolored because each layer gets its own color. Chartreuse, these kind of things. So I've got a Blend already running, and I'm going to open a sample, Hyperbar.
Okay, now that looks very different from the last time I used this application.
Oh, Blend as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, Blend has had considerable styling work in the past couple of milestones.
Yeah, it has been a while since I used it.
But you notice it has the same sort of gray theme as design, so they're meant to be used together.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And the idea is to have consistency. So this UI, although, you know, certain aspects aren't exactly the same, overall,
you can tell
the theme feels like it's part of the suite. So we've got this Hyperbar control inside this Blend project. When I run this, I'm just going to hit F5 so we can see what this looks like. Okie dokie. So notice we got kind of this cool zooming kind of fisheye lens.
Whoa.
Thing going.
It reminds me a lot of like the dock, you know, that you see.
That another company has in one of their offerings. Okay. So, we've got various things we can do. We can change the distribution. We can change the amount that it zooms. And it's just this nice, you know, kind of illustrating the power of a WPF kind of application.
Absolutely.
We're going to close that, just so you get an idea what's in there.
It's got the reflection down there.
Yeah, the reflection is nice because it's just built in.
That's so built in?
Built in. As you add an asset to one of these lists, this will get updated. So I'm going to replace this foot, just to give you an idea of what's going on.
Okay.
So we're
that's really nice,
here.
By the way, because I'm way too stupid to build reflection myself. So it's good that it's built in.
Yeah, and even in the design surface, you can actually see the same exact reflection. So
that
the thing that you're designing reflects what will actually run in the code. So I still got this camera on my clipboard. I'm going to go into design, and I've got this image, and we're just going to make note of some of its layout properties. So we got some column spans, a z-index, all this good stuff. Then we're going to delete it. Gone. Okay, so notice we still got a space in here to kind of put an asset in. So I'm going to double-click the hyperbar and do some boring layout work just to get us started. So we need a view box to surround this thing. Okay, double-click the view box. That gets added there. Now we're going to put that at the bottom. So we just change the Z order. Notice you can kind of make out the view box's outline here.
Okay.
Okay. I'm just going to set some layout properties that will make this demo go much smoother. Because unfortunately, when I had that, the various margins change.
Yeah, I used to do demos for a living, pretty much. And I know this part where you've got to do
the little bit in between before you can really do the work you want to do.
Yeah.
Okay. So
the meta work.
Yeah. Well, at least I didn't bake it beforehand and kind of bring it out.
That's true. This is real
this
time.
This is the real work.
Unless I edit it later.
Yeah, exactly. Which hopefully you will. Okay. So I'm just setting some layout properties on this canvas. And notice this canvas is quite large, but the viewbox sized it to be roughly in this rectangle. So now this canvas is active, and I'm going to paste. Notice the
camera.
So you
used to Control-V?
Control-V, just from...
So Control-V, and there is our camera.
There's our camera. Now you'll notice, so the layout's a little bit off. I'm going to drag this thing in to make it a little bit more consistent. That was just a nice direct
and manipulation.
And
it's still pretty, no matter what size it is. See, that's one thing about vectors, it just totally kicks butt. I love that.
So if you kind of compare with these bitmaps, which are nice, we do have some much more interesting detail kind of occurring. This is part of the reason that it's nice to take assets from acrylic, because they're all vector-based. Okay,
that is really beautiful.
So we zoom out. Now we run it. And if all goes well...
Is it just going to work?
Of course it's going to work. I practiced at least 3 times. Okay, so notice the same hyperbar behavior as we had before, but now we have this vector asset that just kind of lives inside this UI. All we did was we put it in a different container, and now it's live.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the cool part is this is XAML. This is just XML with some special syntax, and it maps to an object model. So as a coder, you could actually take these assets and reuse them all over the place. You can put them in a resource dictionary that can live inside the canvas. You could put this inside of a button. Any place you want to use this asset, you have the flexibility at WPF to do so.
What's happening behind the scenes when you hit F5?
Oh, okay. So this is a blend feature. I won't get too in detail into this, but for the programmers out there, this is kind of interesting. So this hyperbar project, this is actually a CS proj on disk. So if you're a C# coder, this thing is honest to God VS. So unless we have references to all the WPF.
So you pretty much just opened up a C# project.
Bingo, C#. And we do have code for this thing. So notice we get the XAML. So just to prove that it's real, we go to the XAML view for this thing. And you can see the code. And you can probably see, if I scroll down, here's the assets that we pasted as plain text.
Hmm.
So similar to the HTML view in web designing. Oh, here's an interesting feature. I just double-click the CS, and it launches VS.
So it'll load it up inside Visual Studio?
Yeah. And in fact, so you can edit the CS, and it will auto-update. You can also open the CS proj inside of VS and then run it. You can also MS build from the command line, and everything just works. So for the coders out there, this is a dream.
So then Blend, then, as well as VS, are both just tying into MS build behind the scenes.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
But the nice thing, I'm more of the designer, and mm-hmm. I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, you don't need to know that.
All this gibberish.
F5, and it does something.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. So next part of the demo. So that was a WPF export. There's also this other technology that we export to, which is called WPF/E. So I'm going to show the export dialog. In this case, I'm actually going to do an honest export rather than going through the copy-paste. So when I copy-paste, the assets are just placed on the clipboard transparently. When I do an actual export by hand, I get a more interesting workflow. It takes a little bit longer, but it gives you more flexibility in what you can do. So this is the XAML export dialog, which anyone who's used the previous CTPs and export XAML will be somewhat familiar with.
So it's letting you select what it is that you want to save, or...?
Effectively, with the format you want to save in, how you want to modify the effects,
right,
you want to rasterize, factorize.
Options over there. Yeah.
We've also got text export, flatten pass, writable text.
That's a new feature.
New feature for this version. And most important of all, for this demo, we can go... So Canvas is the straight WPF canvas. Resource Dictionary, also a WPF canvas. WPF/E... is this other format, kind of a subset of XAML, if you will. So I'm going to export this file to a WPF/E file. I'm going to go to this little application, which I did roll ahead of time.
Is that a graphic?
This is a graphic. Now what I'm going to do is, this is my application, and it references a particular XAML file, right? So when I hit F5, it just replaced it. This is an Internet Explorer page.
That is so
cool. This is HTML with these vector contents. And I don't have a zooming slider, so I can't actually show this. These are honest-to-God vectors.
Yeah. So what this allows you to do is start running heavy, beautiful vector content, or lightweight vector content in a web browser. So it's a very nice little technology.
And the cool part is, you know, you've got your client app, you've got this little Hyperbar demo that I showed. This is an executable that lives on a particular machine. It's a client app. With WPFE, you're starting to kind of take these applications onto the web. So
will this work in another browser?
Yes, I believe they're slated for Firefox.
Yeah, we were going to show you Firefox.
We're going to show Firefox, but apparently there was some issue. Yeah.
Okay, but it'll work.
Yeah, it'll work.
It's going to work in...
It's cross-platform. It'll work on the Mac.
Okay. Yeah. The Mac?
Yeah. This is the story. You'll have to talk to the WPFE team to get more details. But the important detail to know for designers is you've just created this one asset, and you've got an application, an executable, which was something that was difficult to do in the past for designers.
Yeah.
You've also got this web application, which was a little bit easier, but now you've got some power because you've got this vector-based code, you've got a JavaScript coding model. It's very flexible. So the same assets go many different places.
That is really, really neat.
Yeah, it's quite a story.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, thank you guys for the tour.